The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Welcome to our final installment of the Full Skull Vikings Football Talk episode of the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast.
He is your host, Dale Lugendell. I am your co-host, James Camaro.
And for
the final time.
Yes, I'm pretty sure everybody's happy to hear that because this season.
What a season.
What a miserable, miserable Sunday I had. I was dying of the illness that's been going around, whether it's COVID or the flu. I don't know. I didn't get tested. It doesn't really matter. Because what does it matter? It's not
what
like
they
give me a magic pill and it fixes
it. Oh,
yep,
you got it. Go home.
Okay, great. Perfect. Awesome. You're still going to feel like dog shit.
And you just go on the register.
Yeah, so I just had to drive there and sit in a waiting room and whatever. I mean, I guess I could have a home test, but I don't have one because I just don't care. Yeah. Anyways, I'm dying. So instead of fishing and not watching the game, I was dying and watching the game, which was stupid. I knew we were going to lose, and we did. And then Green Bay makes it in, which just makes it all the worst. Nothing good happened for me on Sunday. Like
we had a good, I had a pretty good Sunday. I had all of my children with me, which is doesn't happen all that often. Jaden had to work, but he took a half a day off, and so he was able to come and hang out with us. And we also had Chato Carbajal and his lovely wife Caitlin came to visit and watch the game. And there was some. A few things to get excited about. JJ had a huge game. He got his 1,000 yards, which is ridiculous.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It says he played 10 games, but really he got hurt in one fairly early when he pulled his hamstring and he was out. And then the first game he comes back, Josh Dobbs tries to kill him and he gets hit in the chest. And so he was out for that game. So technically he played in 10 games, but really he played in like 8 and 2 parts of games, and he finished the season with 1,074 yards, which was 19th overall in the league, which is, how many over 100, I'm sure, wide receivers, and then 5 touchdowns.
He also gives us a response. Yeah, he started off slow, but came on stronger towards the end.
192 yards on 12 receptions, 12 of 14. Yeah. So only 2 and 1 and a touchdown.
It's just so much fun to watch him, too, when he's doing it because these aren't easy catches, dude. They're just
– he's so good. Like, you forget how good he is.
Well, and Addison messed up on that first deep ball. He slowed down, which normally be like probably should, but he shouldn't have. He should have just kept on the gas and – honestly, Mullins, to his credit, would have dropped it right there. Like, that was perfect. That was a perfect pass.
Mullins, again, had like almost a 400. Like, he had over 800 yards in 2 games against Detroit. So,
and only one turnover.
One turnover. Of course, it was at the very end.
Of course.
Which was, made a difference. But we got to see JT do the gritty, and it was a good one. Oh, man. I mean, he went almost all the way across the end zone. Like, that was awesome.
He's been waiting.
I know, right? Like that was his best gritty I've seen. So,
but it gives us it gave me ammo too, because I saw a stat that said that, you know, he got us 1,000 yards. That's great, but when he's played all four quarters, we're 1-7.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So his win loss isn't great, but. Yeah. The thing that popped into my head for all the Kirk haters out there, when there's like, oh, yeah, well, when you had Kirk, you were 1-4. Okay, are you going to sit there and tell me you're not a JJ fan?
Yeah.
Because we went 1-7 when he played all four quarters. Yeah. So what do you, your logic is not sound, sir.
Yeah. So flawed. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a stupid thing to say. And that just points it out right there. It's like, yeah, you're going to put that on JJ? Like, stop it. Like, just stop.
That's the thing about like wide receivers and stuff, and you know, well, any skill position, but the quarterback, is that you're relying on somebody else to get you the ball. Quarterback has the ball in his hands every single play, so they can affect, you know, who and when and where and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, obviously the defensive line or the offensive line has to give him time and all that kind of stuff, but you know, it's tough. JJ, you know, he's running all these routes. I don't know how many plays he was in, you know, 60, 70 of them, or whatever, in the game, and you know, he gets 14 targets and he catches 12 of them. So, you know, how many routes did he run and everything? So it's always, and every game like that, you know, like how's the defense take him away? He's the best player in football. I mean, you know, you got two high safeties on him all the time. You know, he's double and triple teamed. So, you know, and of course, for half of the season, he didn't have a decent quarterback. Well, I guess he didn't play. He played in all of Kirk's games before he got hurt. Or he played with Kirk, and then when he came back, of course, it was just a montage, a potpourri, if you would, of quarterbacks. So it's kind of like, what are you, you know, like they don't have any
no rhythm,
any,
no,
exactly.
Yeah.
They don't trust him like Kirk has learned to that. You know, like KOC always said last year, it's an opportunity ball. Like, yeah, he's guarded, but you know what? He's better than those two defensive backs. So just throw it up and let him make a play. And how many times did he do it this year already? I mean, when they did throw it to him, when they obviously said, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to force him the ball. He made the plays. Like, the dude,
he just straight does it too. He is good. And it's like,
so good.
It's funny when I watch him, like, he doesn't really do it like, I don't know how to put this, like dramatically or with style. You know, like Moss had, like, he just jumped way up and he pulled it down. Yeah. He kind of style. Like some of these other guys, they have a certain style when they catch it. And you're just, even Diggs, I'd even put Diggs in that category. Like his catches are like dramatic and they're stylish. And it's like, JJ's don't seem to have that flair. He just gets the job done every time.
Yeah, he's
like
amazing.
He's just money. Yeah. Like it's, I don't know.
I love when they do the replay of the catch and you see his route running,
right?
Because he puts so many guys on skates. Like,
yeah,
I
he
mean,
does.
Like
he's
when
out
he
of their
when
boots,
he stops
yep.
on a dime and turns and then cuts back up, I'm like, dude, you remember that play last year? I don't know if you remember. I remember it distinctly, where he walks into the end zone and he put a move on that dude. That, I mean, he wasn't anywhere close to him, you know, like a stutter step in and out. And then he catches the ball and he just walks in, like, and somebody says that, oh, that's going to be on a highlight reel for sure. It was just nasty, dude. I'm like, he is
disrespectful,
he is special,
as they say in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. He is so special. So
yeah, he is. When we got to give him Kirk back, man, that just has to happen. It just does.
Yeah, and I guess we look at the free agents, which is, of course, is right now is the big question mark. You know, we draft our first round pick is number 11. You know, there are, you know, and there's so many different options. The draft is Thursday, April 25th through that weekend starts Thursday, April 25th, you know, Friday, Saturday. And then, but free agency starts in March the 24th. So that's when, and then you have to like re-sign people by like the 26th. So what I'm hearing, like for Daniil, obviously a big free agent, you gave us that big list, Daniil, Kirk,
pretty much everybody on our offense, except for, JJ, we don't,
KJ,
JJ's not on the list.
No, not JJ.
We're going to sign
him. He's got
him
1 year left, but we're going to sign.
Yeah, so he's not, and then Hockenson isn't on that. But other than that, every other starting offensive person pretty much is on that list.
And Jordan Addison.
Jordan Addison.
But then of course you got Harry, which there's a lot of speculation that he played his last game on Sunday. Unfortunately,
in football.
And yeah, in football, like he's done. Like and some of his comments, it's kind of like, you know, but you I've seen it. I've seen some of the talking heads watching like NFL Live and these other things, and people, you know, it said, what do you think about Harrison Smith? And the guys are like, you know, yeah, right now it sounds like what he's saying is that maybe he's done some of that. But you know what? It's January.
Right. And it was a frustrating season.
come this spring when you're kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of done and my body hurts. And he even said, like, my shoulder hurts. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, come this spring and it's like, the grass is green. It's getting warm. You know, you're thinking about spring, you know, coming back in for this, you know, for optional for mini camps and all this kind of stuff and training camp. And you're like, yeah, maybe I'm not quite done yet. You know, but
yeah.
But he's not under contract. He's a free agent. So
does
he come back?
If he comes back, he's not going to somewhere else. He's not going to another team,
right?
I don't see that.
It's impossible, right?
Because going off of what he said, you know, he's like. I'm not going to ever announce a retirement.
Yeah, I'm just
you'll
I'm
just know.
Gone. Yeah,
you
yeah, just
know.
You're
just I'm you're going to stop hearing my name. So yeah, yeah. Which maybe that happens in this offseason.
Very well could be.
Very well could. If he decides he wants one more year, I think he gives the organization like a hell of a deal just to be part of it.
Yeah. And yeah. Just bring me back, give me $5 million.
Because it could be depending on, you know, who knows? Depending on what happens, he might be like, this is, I think we have a legit shot next year and I want to be a part of it. And whatever I got to do to do that, I'll play for league minimum. I don't care. I want to be a part of the magic, you know? And I feel like we have to sign Daniil for sure. I mean, it's going to be expensive, but
I don't know.
He's such an integral part of that defense.
Well, I know this much, that Kirk either has to be re-signed or we have to let him go, you know, very early, like before the free agency or as soon as free agency opens, like within the first couple hours. Because if not, do I want to say something like $25 million cap hit or something, or 19,
well,
it's somewhere around $20 million cap hit if we don't re-sign him. So
I don't know if you're seeing the news over there in Michigan, but right now the narrative is the stuff that it sounds like. I think we alluded to it maybe last week, but it certainly sounds like he's willing to wheel and deal to stay a Viking.
Oh, it does.
So what
I've seen is when they had the locker room clean out, which was yesterday, Monday. They lost Sunday, so everybody comes back on Monday. And what he said was that something about, it's not about the money, it's about what the money represents, which means the money represents what am I worth. And so he didn't really say, yeah, I'm willing to, you know, work with the team and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know, dude. He's made over $250 million. I mean, you know, he's north of $250 million.
And look at his lifestyle.
He shots it cold and he was
exactly
to
that. Exactly.
Your house is probably maybe, well, Andrew would know because he's been to his house. But you know, what is this house? Maybe $5 million. Maybe, I mean, you know, for him that's probably extravagant. So how much of that $260 million have you spent? I mean, he's probably invested. He's got endorsements, deals, and stuff like that. I know. So yeah, I mean, you would hope to think. I know initially I was here in 2 years, like 60, or 2 years, like 40. But you were saying that kind of locally, they're saying 2 years, 60, like 30
million
a year.
That's just what in my head I kind of made up. I don't know that I've actually seen anybody.
I think I want to see that. I think I want to say that though, because you know, like, is it ESPN? Somebody puts out there like worth of.
Is this true? Did we get their 2024 season already set?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, got it right here.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail your train of thought.
No. I was just looking up the.
I'm just scrolling through Facebook right now. Trying to get a headline of one of the ones I saw about Kirko taking less. I've seen a couple different variations of it from different sources. So they're making it sound like. That he wants to stay and however you know, he's not going to take nothing, right? But he's,
yeah.
I think it's more important for him that he gets a good team, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So 5 days ago, Pro Football Focus, which is, you know, pretty, people turned that pretty good. Ranks Kirk Cousins the number two free agent of 2024. The quarterback's projected to get a 2-year, $60 million deal, which would be like $30 million a year. So, and it depends on the structure. You know, if you back end it or if you front end it, I guess is what I heard is that so much of it's guaranteed. There's some incentives in there, kind of thing, and then you can get out of it if you need to. So, a lot of that is what, you know, in this offseason and we talked about that last year. Like, I've never really paid that much attention to the offseason, but really, it starts in March, and then you got the draft in April. You got the combine in March, I think. You have mini camps, and I mean, it's boom, boom, boom. You really don't have a ton of time between, it's not a huge thing. That, like, June, I think, or July is like the worst month because there's like nothing. Like, you come in for OTAs and like mini camps, and then they're off for a month, and then they come back in this training camp, and everybody starts going. But, so that's, we draft 11. Right now, I'm seeing they're the top five quarterbacks in the draft, which, you know, it's hard to say where Kwesi's at. I mean, obviously, the backups that we have in house are not worth a plug nickel. So, what we have to address the quarterback room. And so do you let all those guys go
scrap
and you bring
and burn
in
the whole deal?
Yeah, and you bring in another veteran backup, or do you go, or do you hang on to Jaren Hall and you try to keep him, you know, you try to get him up to speed, and you try to what's the word I'm looking for?
You know what though, Mullins as a backup, that's fine. I'm actually fine with that because he does.
I mean, but he's so turnover prone.
He is, but.
That's why you need the game manager. You're not going to win us many games, but you're not going to lose us games. Mullins loses us games. That's what I'm saying. Like, all you need is the Case Keenum. You know, like, let's just, you know, be a good game manager.
Game manager
is what we need, is a good backup. But all that being said, you know, obviously, at most is 2 years. So if you don't address the quarterback – so here's the thing. If you don't address the quarterback position this offseason, in my opinion, we're screwed because we have one of the bottom schedules. We have, like, the bottom five easiest schedules or something like that, or top five, however you want to look at it. You know, if you rank them, you know, 32 being the hardest schedule to one or however you want to look at it. But we have one of the easiest schedules in the league next year because we didn't make the playoffs. We'll look into that eventually here. Our home and we have all the opponents, we just don't know the dates. But so if what we think is going to happen, that they sign Kirk, you know, whether they bring Danilo back or not, of course you got JJ, you still have Jordan Addison. I don't know, TJ, I haven't heard anything as far as he can be ready for the beginning of the season or not. But if we can keep those pieces there, and if B-Flow stays, or even if he doesn't, if the defense can, you know, still be relevant, and we have an easy schedule, we could go deep in the playoffs. Like, we could, you know, obviously we're going to have an opportunity in the regular season to have a great regular season, win the North again, get back on top with that, and then, you know, of course, everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, well, you got an easy schedule. Well, Detroit had, like, the fourth easiest schedule in the league all year, too, this year. And now, they win the division because they didn't make the playoffs last year. So they finished whatever they finished last year, 8-9 or 7-10, same as we did or this year. So you can't say, well, you had an easy schedule. You just play who's out in front of you. We had a bad year this year. What do you want us to do? You play a real hard schedule after we had a terrible season and didn't make the playoffs? So you can't have it both ways. So if we win a bunch, what I'm saying is that if we win a bunch next season, let's say we win 12 or 13 games again, and we make a deep run in the playoffs, well, then we're not going to have a high draft pick.
Right.
And hopefully we're in a position where we can just kind of keep on rolling with that. And so hopefully we don't have a high draft pick for the foreseeable future. So at 11, do we move up to try to get to five is what some people are saying, that they think like some of the top three quarterbacks, like Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, you know, from USC, and Drake May is from North Carolina, Caleb Williams from USC, Jaden Daniels from LSU. And then you have Michael Penix Jr., who played last night, who did not look good against Michigan, but, you know, last week,
a lot of people
looked amazing. Yeah,
a lot of people are like, okay, yeah, don't want him.
Well,
after that game,
I really like him. I like what I see. I mean, he's got a cannon for an arm, and he gets the ball super quick. He's left-handed, so that's kind of hard to deal with. And he's a big guy, but he's had a lot of injuries. Like, he's had knees and ACLs and MCLs, and he rolled his ankle last night. I mean, so there's some questions there. What I'm seeing for like Minnesota is like Bo Nix from Oregon, but you know, is he the answer? I don't know. I mean, obviously a first round quarterback is going to be much better to start off with than Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall was a fifth rounder. That's why he went all the way to the fifth round. Like, he's not even a second or a third, you know? So, of course you got the Brock Purdy's of the world, but how often does that happen? So for me, that's what I'm saying, is that at 11, do we move up, which, of course, Kwesi in his first two drafts has moved down. He's traded down to get more capital. And I'm like, dude, we need to discuss that too. Now that we didn't do good, and our initial information was that if we don't do well, is Kwesi in jeopardy? You know, I don't know what that looks like, but
haven't really heard anybody talking about it. So I think I would probably say he's probably safe this year.
Yeah. So, but for me, we draft a young quarterback. We sign Kirk to the 2-year, you know, whatever. Okay, $60 million. Okay, he's worth $30 million. I think initially everyone was like, "Oh, now we're getting Kirk at a discount." But what for what we had in his replacement, his drafts that his contract went up in value for sure, because we realized how much we missed him. So at first it was like, 35 years old, 36 years old, coming off an Achilles, we'll probably get him at a discount. And now we're like, you know what? We really missed you. We really need you. So maybe you're worth a little more than what we had thought. We thought maybe we'd get you a discount price, but yeah, we don't have very many good options. So there's a lot of things that have to happen in this offseason. So it's very intriguing to me, because do we keep Daniil? And if we don't, then do they draft an edge rusher? And they're in the first round, and we get maybe a JJ McCarthy in the you know, second or something like that, if he goes to the second. I don't know. I mean, he just won a national title. I don't think in most situations like that, that kind of stuff doesn't really play in the general public. I think that, but the powers that be that make these decisions and the drafting and scouting and stuff like that, they're still kind of where they were before. You know what I mean? Like, just because you won a national title doesn't necessarily mean, oh, wow, now he won a title, so now he's way better than he was. They're still – and JJ's not projected, you know, like top 10 quarterback, but really first round they see maybe 4 or 5 max. And, of course, it's all going to depend on what people do. I mean, you got – the Bears are drafting first. Do they get rid of Justin Fields? And if they do, do we go out and get Justin Fields? I mean, there's just so many, you know, that wouldn't hurt my feelings. I don't think I kind of like Justin Fields. I think in the right situation, and with KOC, obviously, you know, what we like to call him, the quarterback whisperer.
Only if Justin Fields wants to back up Kirk Cousins for 2 years.
Well, I think that's a given. If they, obviously, if they sign Kirk Cousins, he's going to start no matter what. It doesn't matter who they draft, who they pick up, whatever. Right. There's not going to be no controversy. There's not going to be we're competing for a starting job. Kirk Cousins is the man. And of course, JJ has said so. He really wants him back. KOC's made it no secret that that's his guy. Like, he wants him back. And from what we've been
everybody, even told, the players, that
whatever KOC kind of wants is what going to happen. But of course, they still have to make the numbers work. You know, there's a lot of money to be thrown around this offseason, and of course you have to sign JJ this offseason. You never, you know, somebody like that, it's I mean, they were talking about trying to get him signed up last offseason. You don't let him go into the last season of his contract as a potential free agent and take a chance that at the end of the year that he's upset and he walks. Like, you have to sign him this offseason, without a doubt in my mind. You got to pay that. If you give him his bag, and
you know, you just figure out the structure of it and, you know, make it to where it's all beneficial to for both parties. And I know they'll figure that out. So
that's a lot of things gotta be top priority, I would assume.
Oh, 100%. And then you work around that. I mean, you gotta plug in the big piece first, and then you you build your puzzle all the way around that kind of thing. Because
You could almost go JJ, Hunter, and then all right, Kirko, what can you do for us? And then we can fill in.
Yeah, then you fill in around there. Yeah. So, but I think that being said, well, see, for me, even if we sign Kirk, which I would love, we've said it, Kirk's elite. I mean, his he's not the mobility and all that kind of stuff. He's not going to take off right now. Of course, with the Achilles, you know, you really wonder about his mobility, and you hope that it. I mean, that's his plant foot. I mean, that's his right ankle. So we'll see how he drives on that ball and stuff like that. But his accuracy is impeccable. I mean, we've seen that all the second half of the season, how bad other quarterbacks can be with their accuracy. And, you know, every time we'd see that, we'd say Kirk makes that throw 99 times out of 100, or if not 100 times out of 100. I mean, leading the receivers, you know, touchdowns here when we don't get touchdowns because they have to stop and come back for the ball. And that was all three of our quarterbacks. I mean, yeah, Nick Mullins could probably throw it a little bit deeper, but I think the guys were kind of used to it's got to be hard for these Addison and JJ and KJ and stuff like that. You got one guy who throws the ball underneath of you all the time who can't throw it out there deep. And then you got Mullins that can throw it a little bit deeper. And so, you know, you're used to kind of like, okay, I have to kind of back up a little bit or slow down. I can't run full speed because I'm going to have to come back anyways. And then all of a sudden Mullins throws it over his head like Jordan Addison the other night, Sunday. So, yeah, it's just so much turmoil. But the fact that, you know, we got to come back to KOC, though. The fact that we finished 7-10, but we were right there. Like, we were right there vying for a playoff spot in the last three games or two games. And with all that we've had to go through.
And the defense really let us down the last four games. I mean,
well, I did see a stat. I don't know if I mentioned that in the last one or not, that our defense in just defensive line, not the edge rushers, not Danilo, not DJ Wanham, but our three interior defensive linemen were 31st in quarterback pressures. And we saw that. Remember how we talked about on third down when they would just rush the three and drop eight and coverage and all that kind of stuff? And we got no pressure, none, zero. And then we still get burned because he's got 18 seconds to throw the ball. I mean, like, you know, it doesn't matter if you have 15 guys in the backfield. Like, you got that much time, somebody's going to give you some kind of a window, and people are, you know, a quarterback, NFL quarterback's going to make that happen. So there's that, you know, there's things that need to be addressed on the defensive line. You know, the offensive line, we got kind of riddled with injury, and the defense, we lost Byron Murphy Jr. late in the season. You know, there were, you know, what B-Flow did with some of the people that we had, rookies, undrafted free agents. I mean, it's not like we had a star-studded, secondary. So, you know, I think what he did was really good, but like KOC alluded to it last week or 2 weeks ago in one of his press conferences, is like, you know, we start putting stuff on tape and people can start the game plan for that. And I think that's kind of just what happened. Like, we just got exposed because we really didn't have any real stars on defense in the secondary other than, I mean, Harry, all pro, you know, I think he's a Hall of Famer. You know, and Daniil and, you know, DJ played really well, you know, edge rushing. But who in the secondary can you think of that was just like amazing? Byron Murphy Jr. did really well for a while, but then, you know, he got hurt, so he was out. Caleb Evans was terrible. Mekhi Blackman was not very good. I mean, you know, a lot of our corners were not, times,
but not,
were not, but they're not like any kind of elite shutdown corner. They're not, they're not nowhere close to elite, you know? So, there's just a lot of question marks there, but I think going into the draft, the free agency is going to tell us a lot, which is in March, and then we'll kind of have an idea of where we're going. Like I said, we draft an 11 if we move up. As of right now, I'm seeing some different things. Let me see what I had that right here. Top note, draft position right here. That some people have, like Jaden Daniels dropping all the way down there, quarterback from LSU.
And it's to the Vikings at 11. The reigning Heisman winner exploded as a dual threat with elite athleticism and big play passing flair. Daniel still needs a little time to improve his zip and accuracy, but his natural skills gives him great upside. He can become what Lamar Jackson has in the new Ravens offense. So, you know, as much as we push KOC as the quarterback whisperer and what he's gotten out of Kirk, you know, can he do that with a Jaden Daniels or a Bo Nix or even a JJ or a Michael Penix Jr.? I think so, you know. I mean, but I guess that just kind of remains to be seen and how they do it. So definitely a disappointing season, obviously, 7-10. I mean, never want to do that. We didn't finish dead last. The Bears lost, so which I was almost pulling for us to finish dead last because that means that the Bears would have beat the Packers and they'd had a better record than us, but – you know, just it's just
gonna pull that up too. Let me see.
Just a tough season, you know.
Because somebody posted something, but it must have been okay. There it is, it's updated. Yeah, 7-10. I mean, we split with the Bears, didn't we?
Yeah. No. Did we beat them twice? No, they beat us. Yeah.
No,
they beat us.
We're dead. We're tied. We're 7-10.
We're tied.
2-4. 2-4. Division record is the same. I mean, they're listed as last, so whatever their tiebreaker was, we obviously won that, whatever
yeah,
that
they're
is.
Seven,
but.
Yeah, they're 7-10 because they lost the last game. If they beat the Packers,
right.
they're 8-9. So right. They would have been better than us. That's what I was saying. Like, we'd have been
no,
dead last.
I'm just saying we're tied for dead last.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're tied for last now, but if they would have beat the Packers, we would have been dead last.
Oh, yeah, right.
By ourselves.
Yeah,
correct. Yeah, correct. We'd have been fourth out of four instead of tied for third,
which would
have
been great. I mean, as yeah. far as like scenarios go, if you're gonna lose, you know, lose big, and
yeah,
obviously that means the Packers would have been out of the playoffs, so I would have been okay with that. Get a slightly yeah. better draft pick, and Packers are out. That'd be great. I'd love it.
Yeah,
didn't happen.
Sure.
Didn't, no, happen.
Didn't happen.
One of the
Just
worst
like
Sundays of my life.
Yeah, for sure. That's a rough one. Yeah, 2023 was the season was not going to be one that we want to remember kindly. That's for sure. It's just
only if it's a setup to hoisting that Lombardi next year.
Yeah.
God, what if?
Well, I mean, you know, there's barring the injuries and just stupid weird.
But I wonder what's
stuff.
Yeah, I wonder what's happening with Detroit next year, like what's their free agency look like? Because I mean, they're gonna be.
Yeah,
I mean,
know.
They're a good
yeah.
team, so it's
yeah.
it's gonna be. It's not like it's gonna be handed to us, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I've asked some of my buddies, and I don't know if they really know either. Like what their yeah. What their salary cap looks like, and kind of where they're.
But,
where they're at on that. I think there's a few that obviously are gonna come up, and that might be some cap casualties and stuff, but. Yeah, they're a good team. I think for them, and I'll stand by it until I see otherwise, Dan Campbell is their weakest point there. He's just – I mean, that Dallas game that they lost, just kick the extra point and go to overtime.
Yeah.
Your defense has been great. You've been scoring pretty much at will. Like, you're going to stop them. Why – you know, after the first one and then the penalty where he backed you up, why are you going for it on
yeah. –
on two-point conversion from the 7 or something like that. I'm like, you're an idiot, dude. And if it wouldn't have been for Dallas's penalty coming back, they would have stayed there. But yeah, I'm like, just kick the extra point and go in overtime. And I think that his just mentality, and everybody loves it here. Like, oh, yeah, I love it. He's a gambler. But you know what? You're going to hate it when he loses a big game going for it on his own 25 or pulling a fake punt on his own 25 and it gets stopped and all of a sudden they walk in for a touchdown
right.
and it ends up costing them a game. And it might even bite them in this postseason. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with the Rams. Obviously the Rams, I wouldn't bet against McVay and Matthew Stafford. I saw a stat on Facebook or something like that where they showed Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford, and they have like identical stats.
Oh, really?
They switch teams, like
oh,
identical.
Wow. That's crazy.
Like, wins and games and percentage. And, I mean,
wow.
Touchdowns, like to almost to a number. Like
weird
identical
how that can be,
thing.
Right? You know, because when Stafford
so
was with Detroit,
so
you're
crazy.
Just like, oh, he's just not that good. You know,
yeah.
And then he goes to L.A. and lights it up. But
yeah, wins the Super Bowl.
So
yeah.
Here's I'm gonna touch on our schedule here, and
okay,
see
yeah.
if you think it's. The way this screenshot here. Has it broken up for home versus road? We don't need to go. Obviously, we have our division, so I'm not going to mention those. And this isn't in any order. This isn't like opening day or whatever.
No, these are just. This is just our opponents. Doesn't come out until after like late summer, I think.
Nine home games, 8 road games. So San Francisco at home. Arizona, these are all at home. Arizona, Houston, Indianapolis, Atlanta, New York Jets.
So the Jets didn't make it, the non-playoff team, Falcons non-playoff team, Colts non-playoff team, Houston's in, CJ Stroud, that's going to be a tough game. That we're at home. Of course, the 49ers won the NFC, so they're at home. And Arizona did not make the playoffs. So yeah, no, they didn't.
Two really good teams in there. The others are meh.
And then our division games,
So then we have to go to the L.A. Raiders.
This is the road games?
These are road games. L.A. Raiders.
The Rams.
Yeah. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah, L.A. Rams. Yeah. Seahawks.
Non-playoff.
Jacksonville.
Non-playoff.
Tennessee.
Non-playoff.
New York Giants.
Head coach. Giants non-playoff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So our road games, we only have the Rams as a – well, and our division games, you know, Detroit and Green Bay, we made the playoffs. And the Rams, playoff teams, everybody else is not playoff. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of the easiest schedules that we're going to have in a very long time, for sure. So, you know, it's fair to say that we're going to have a bounce-back season. Just for the simple fact that we're going to be way better, obviously, hopefully. I mean, you know, barring any injuries. You know, we talked about that. You and I talked about that before, too, is that, you know, last year we were fairly injury-free. Like, we had a few little nicks and bruises here, but nobody of any real substance. Garrett Bradbury, I think, had his back issues. Who else do I remember kind of got hurt for a little while? Not that many, really. If any, that, you know, maybe a game or two here or there or whatever. But, you know, our major points, Kirk, JJ, you know, KJ, Cook, you know, we didn't, they were all healthy. And so it makes a difference for sure. So, you know, hopefully this year or next year we'll follow suit with 2 years or, you know, last year instead of this year. But we stay healthy. I don't see why we can't be right there. You know, vying for the division and making a deep run in the playoffs. And I think we're primed.
Well,
it's
the AFC South that we're, you know, AFC we always play South. One full AFC division. It's the NFC South.
The AFC South.
So Jacksonville, I'm just going through their records right now, just kind of trying to compile.
Yeah.
Whatever. Indy 9-8. Keep going.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we're right there. I think we're, you know, the offseason should be exciting. I'm excited to see who we draft. And like I said, hopefully we stay at 11 and we take the best quarterback that we can get, which, you know, a Bo Nix, a Michael Penix Jr. You know, if there's some way we can get up, from what I've heard is that if we want to get one of the elite quarterbacks coming out, we'd have to get to like 3 or something. You know, the Bears, I don't think, are going to give up their first pick, which the Bears have 2 first-round picks this year because they got Carolina's pick who did they draft last year, their quarterback. I want to say Will Levis, but it's not Will Levis. It's he did not do good there in Carolina. But like I said, if we can get to the top 3 and we can get, you know, a Caleb Williams or you know, Drake May out of North Carolina, or even, well, Jaden Daniels, that, you know, people have them coming all the way down to 11. So, and then we keep 2 years under Kirk, you know, or even a year, and then we give him a chance if Kirk, you know, doesn't put up the numbers, which I don't see why he wouldn't, but you never know. I mean, that's the other thing. That's the unknown. It's just, how's he going to respond? And is his plant foot, you know, is he going to have the same pop? Is he going to be able to drive off it? Is he going to be nervous about it? I mean, he's never really been hurt before that I can think of. Nothing like that anyways, nothing
right.
Season ending. I mean, you know, a little nucks and bruises, same thing with JJ. He's never really been hurt before either. And I know it's a hamstring and it wasn't like it was a major, you know, like a surgery or anything like that, but you know, hamstrings can be really tricky, but obviously he's got the whole off season to make sure. And I mean, he looked more than 100%, you know, the last down the stretch here, you know, his movement is still just money. So
just going off of win loss records, mm-hmm. if they have above 500, we got six teams versus five teams that are below 500. San Francisco 12-5.
We have six games in the division.
Yeah, and then Houston is 10-7. The Rams are 10-7. So, yeah. I mean, there's those are three. Those are three. Yeah. You know, they did well. Those are good records. Yeah. But you know, you get to double digit wins. You get to 10 wins. That's respectable. Yeah. And then you got some 9-8s. 9-8s. We have three teams that are at 9-8, and then. 2-6-11s. We finished. Well, I guess we didn't say finish the season. They're in the last of the list. So that doesn't mean that. And then, Arizona. Knows? I didn't realize 4-13. Oof.
Yeah, they're bad. Oof. Yeah. And they beat the Cowboys. what's it called? Did Josh Dobbs beat the Cowboys early in the season before he came to us? So.
The Pastronaut.
The Pastronaut. Yeah, which
the Pastronaut not going to be a Viking next year.
I would think not. So,
I mean, maybe who knows? It could be emergency backup or something. I don't know how. I mean, he's not like he's gonna cost much.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah. Just league. You know, veteran minimum kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
That's.
But a relatively easy schedule. Hopefully we're healthy. Who knows when we get Hockenson again? He's a big missing piece though. Like,
yeah,
that's not good. And who knows how he comes back? I mean, that's a major injury. I mean, was it MCL and ACL?
Yeah, both. Yeah,
that's a brutal one. It's not good.
Yeah, no, that's a tough one for sure.
Not good, but we got weapons. We just got to stay healthy, and if we can, you know, if we play the law of averages last year, you know, everybody's like, we got lucky. We have these bounces are going our way. This year, it could be argued the exact opposite happened with all the freak ways we turned the ball over and just freak injuries, you know, two different Achilles injuries. Just crazy shit all season long, it seemed. And so maybe next year it just that kind of chaos calms down.
we can just see
without excuses if this team is legit or not. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the thing. It's like we get through if we don't get riddled with injuries and we're not having those freak things, and we don't have a good season. It's like, at that point in time, now you really got to start looking at.
Yeah, then you have
is
to start
Kirk
questioning
him?
KOC.
Is KOC him? Yeah. It, you know, that's, you know, once the excuses are washed away.
Exhausted.
Now you're just standing there naked with your with your ability. So,
yeah,
at that point, you got to make some big-time decisions. But that's, obviously, that's a big if and when, if and or buts. We're candy and nuts, but I'll have a Merry Christmas. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I got, dude. I don't know anything
else.
So,
just look at the weekend, just real quick on the playoffs. I mean, obviously, it's still playoffs, still football. It's still exciting. So, Saturday, there is two games. Yep, 4:30 is Browns at the Texans, which actually is going to be a pretty good game. Joe Flacco, you know. 102 years old, and CJ Stroud, you know, the amazing rookie quarterback, Houston Texans. They play on NBC, and then 8:00 is the Dolphins at the Kansas City Chiefs, which, you know, it's they're calling for bad weather. The Chiefs are not the Chiefs of old, but wow, that's going to be a tough matchup. The Dolphins have been playing really well, but of course, the Dolphins are just riddled with injury. So I would say that the Chiefs probably have the upper hand on that one. If they can show up, and then it's Sunday, the full slate, and once we hit the playoffs, obviously there's no game simultaneously. They're all boxcars. So everybody can watch everything. Pittsburgh at Buffalo, I would say Buffalo probably on that one. And then the Packers at Cowboys at 4:30. Cowboys should win at home, I would hope. I mean, that's what we're definitely pulling for. And then 8 o'clock night, 8 o'clock the night game on Sunday night is the Rams at Detroit, which of course locally here will be a big deal. Everybody will be, you know, yep, right here, Lions country. But Matthew Stafford coming back. I've heard draconian mandates going out. No Matthew Stafford jerseys in the stadium for the game. And, you know, typical Detroit. Everybody wear a ski mask to the game and all this kind of nonsense.
Might have to. It'd be cold.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's in a...
It's inside, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But then, and then Monday is the Eagles at Tampa Bay, and the Eagles are not the same Eagles either. So,
right,
of course, you got 49ers have a bye, and the Ravens have a bye. Oh, speaking of the Ravens, that's who I'll be pulling for. That's same, who I'll be pulling, yeah, for in the playoffs, just because I would love to see Cook win a title. Dalvin Cook signed with the Baltimore Ravens for the playoffs. So,
yeah, we'll Super Bowl ring cookie.
Give our are who we think will win the Super Bowl. I'm going with the Ravens just because I think that they're better than everybody else, to be honest. But I would love for Dalvin to get him a ring. And so
yeah,
who's your
great.
Who are you, who
yeah,
are you thinking? Or
I
who
want the Ravens.
Like to see?
I'd like to
you
see
like
the
Lamar.
Ravens.
You've always,
yeah,
we've always kind of been Baltimore fan. I have anyways. I've never had,
yep,
any ill will,
nope,
toward Baltimore.
Nope, yeah, nope. I mean, you know, are they won it with one of our ex-coaches, so –
yeah,
back in the day. No, I've always been kind of a, I don't know, Ravens adjacent fan, yeah, I guess. I definitely,
well, I mean,
never root against them. I
yeah,
I like them.
I mean, they're AFC. They're really,
right,
the only,
right,
time we ever see them would be in the Super Bowl anyway. So it's not like it's, you know, yeah, pull for an AFC team. So yeah. I would think that the Ravens are probably.
I don't have any annoying friends that are Ravens fans, so yeah, I don't have any reason to root against.
I mean, I like the Chiefs. I like,
yeah,
like
I like the Chiefs, but they're also starting to get a little Patriots-ish, where I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm
yeah,
tired of seeing you guys at the,
yeah,
at the big
the
dance.
Time.
I like a little, yeah, variety in my life, yeah, and I don't have no reason to root against them or to pull for them. So now that, you know, they've had their shots and they've won some titles, I just don't get excited about it. So,
yeah, yeah,
you know, it's been a while since the Ravens, you know, the Ravens have been there and they've won it. So it's not like,
yeah, yeah,
you know, it's not like it's,
yeah,
brand,
and,
it's not like it's fresh meat, but it's been a while.
And
so,
that's John Harbaugh who won that. Of course, Jim Harbaugh last night won,
yep,
yep, national title game with the Michigan
the
Wolverines.
Script is
so
set. The script is set.
Yeah, the brothers win the both, and very well could be. I mean, why shouldn't the Ravens do it the way they've been playing?
Right.
I think
there's been a little bit of that chatter, but it hasn't really grown legs about like should we have hired Jim? You know,
oh,
just because
yeah,
he won
yeah,
that
yeah,
doesn't. He won a title yeah, in college yeah, does not mean that would transfer yeah, here. Plus, just because we have a different coach doesn't mean we still wouldn't have had all those injuries, you know, especially
yeah,
Kirk's injury. That yeah, freak accident, non-contact injury,
yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
That was going to happen.
Like, either way, yeah.
Yeah, that no, didn't matter who our coach was. That was going
yeah,
to happen.
No.
So
yeah, and he'll be a, from what I'm hearing here on the ground, of course, is that you're right in the heart of it, is that he'll be an NFL coach this year. Bears, possibly. Chargers. There's the big rumors are Belichick is on his way out. Mike Vrabel, who was a Patriot, is got fired from Tennessee, and so a lot of you know, from what I'm seeing, a lot of New England fans are like, "Yeah, if we part ways with Belichick, then bring Mike Vrabel in." You know, and he'll be a head coach somewhere. So there's a lot of possibilities of head coaches and. Which is for me is kind of a good thing because maybe there's not so much chatter or desire for B-Flow.
For B-Flow,
because
yeah,
it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, if New England and Belichick, you know, decide okay, we're going to go different ways. If Belichick's not done coaching, who's not going to hire him? I mean, are you kidding me? You know,
well,
then you got Mike Vrabel, you got Jim Harbaugh coming out of you know college. I mean. There's going to be a lot of head coaches out there that are going to be available. So
well, I want to throw this caveat out there. I don't know if that's the right word, but I have been on the B-Flow train all season because it's been great. But like we said, the last few games has not been
yeah,
good. So
no,
part of me is like, have these teams figured out the B-Flow defense? Have they kind
yeah,
of neutralized B-Flow? Is he
that
as much of a
head coaching
integral
candidate.
Part. Not that. I mean, is he that integral to the Vikes?
Oh, to the Vikes. Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Do we really need him?
If, is it that big of a – is he that integral to the system? Yeah. I mean, I do like him, but some of that – shininess wore off here the last few games. So,
I think some of that is personnel, honestly. And but I mean, you know, obviously when he draws up, I mean, when your defensive line, your core, you know, your three defensive linemen get zero pressure, what are you gonna do? I mean, you know, like if you had better players, they would be playing.
Yeah, is that scheme or is that ability? You know, sure.
That's ability.
But again,
at that point for sure.
We've been giving people. You know, we're giving KOC some leeway to be better, even Kwaisi some leeway. You know, let's see what he does.
Yeah.
So, in that same spirit, we got to be – have to extend the same olive branch to Beflo.
Yeah.
Let's see. Maybe we pick up some defensive studs in the offseason. Then it's like, all right, let's see what you can do when you got some actual talent at these positions. Because – that's kind of what we were praising him for all season long, is the production he was getting out of relative nobodies, you know?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That was kind of the praise. So what can he do with somebodies, you know? Yeah. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But all right.
So who do you have for the Super Bowl then? Well, since our last episode of the season, I guess.
I'm going with the conspiracy logo of Niners and Ravens.
Niners, right? You're right. That's the logo and that's the colors in it for the Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. The two number one seeds. Like, I don't see who stops the 49ers in the NFC, and I don't see who stops the Ravens in the AFC. And I think the Ravens win. So
we all know anything can happen, though. But
that's my prediction.
It is playoff football.
Two number one seeds going head to head, and the Ravens win, and Cookie gets his title. And
that'd be cool.
There you have it. So, disappointing season, still great to be a fan. It's just one last year we have, one more year off of our life.
I didn't plan it. I do happen to have my Optimus since 1961 Viking shirt on. That I got for Christmas.
Nice. There you go. Optimus since 1960. Except for you were born in 1972. Or 73.
True. 73.
Yeah.
Before I was an optimist, before I was born.
Before you were a twinkle in Wayne Bill's eyes.
If I was a Transformer, I'd be Optimistic Prime.
Optimistic. Absolutely bold.
That's a dumb dad joke. I love it. All right.
Very, very, always a good time, my friend. It's great. You know, it's always fun to just talk about it. And yeah, we didn't have a lot of good stuff this year, a lot of fun, not as many fun podcasts as we had last year, but, it's still our team and till we die.
Way more prices, right horns than Gallagher horns. That's for sure.
But, we'll see all of you listeners, whoever the five of you that listen to the
exactly.
Skull and are not full scale, obviously, but I think a lot of your listeners that see the full Skull just kind of skip right by. But whatever. We'll see you in the
2024. See you in September.
See what it brings. Yeah.
See you. Bye.
See you. Oh, no, whatever your passion. Can't forget that tagline. You got walleye on the brain, dude. You're losing your moxie.
No, hit him with it.
Whatever your passion, do it. Full scale. See you, bye.
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery, Waypoint TV.